Well, hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you today, especially today as we are on this side of Hurricane Helene, and very thankful for the fact that we were spared. But obviously our thoughts go to those who've been so terribly impacted. So many lives have been lost. So many homes have been lost. Entire towns have been destroyed in parts of our country, and certainly our hearts go out to them, and we certainly want to lift them up in prayer as we come together today, as we open God's Word. But again, while we're thankful for His deliverance of us, we are so sorry to hear about so many people have been impacted in so many ways. And so as we begin today, let's begin with a word of prayer, certainly seeking the Lord, but asking for His intervention and help for those individuals who've been hurt so badly by this storm. Father, thank you for this day. And Father, thank you, O God, for the protection that you gave us. But Father God, we just lift up to you all those who've been impacted by this hurricane. Father, certainly those families that have lost their loved ones. Father, that you would be the comfort, Lord, that only you can be. Father, that you would strengthen them, that you would carry them. Lord, for those that are still missing, Lord God, that they will be found safe. Lord, for those individuals, Lord, those families that have lost their homes. Father, for people who have lost their entire town, we just ask, O God, that you be near them, that you strengthen them. Lord God, that you lift them up, Father. Lord, be near them. And Father, as we come to you today, Father, open our minds and our hearts, O God, to hear from you. Lord, to know you better, to walk closer to you. O God, be able to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we open God's Word today, we come to Psalm 52. And like all the Psalms, we see a tremendous amount of theology, prophecy, but always put in terms of what we would call a practical, relevant, day-to-day life situation. As we open Psalm 52, we see David dealing with a very real issue of life. And, you know, we've already dealt with one very real issue of life, the massive storm that we have seen. But David in Psalm 52 deals with another issue, and that is the wicked. That is those evil people, their intentions, their aim. David deals with that. We see the historical setting when you read the superscription of this psalm, that is the inspired writing just above the psalm. It says, "For the choir director, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said to him, 'David has come to the house of Ahimelech.'" Background of it is in that time period when God had told Saul, the king of Israel at that time, that he would be removed because of his disobedience. He would be replaced. Saul knew that David would be the one who would in fact replace him. Saul was jealous of David, wanted to kill him, was pursuing him. David then, in order to get away from Saul, David comes there to the town of Nob. And while in the priests there help him, and one of Saul's servants, a fellow by the name of Doeg, an Edomite, he sees David there. He reports it back to Saul, and Saul comes, and he's responsible for the killing of 85 priests, all the men, women, and children in the village, all the oxen, the donkeys, the sheep, tremendous destruction, all because of the wickedness, not only of Doeg, the Edomite, himself, but also Saul behind him. And as we think about this, you know, we look at the lessons of this world around us. How do we face a world filled with such evil, wicked people? And every day the news reveals that there are more and more of them doing worse and worse things. How do we deal with them? Well, as we look at the psalm, the first thing that we see, in fact, is let's just go ahead and read through the psalm to begin with. Psalm 52, short, only 9 verses, so we will go ahead and read through it to begin with. "Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. Selah. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. The righteous will see and fear, and will laugh at him, saying, Behold, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and was strong in his evil desire. But as for me, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I will give you thanks because you have done it. I will wait on your name, for it is good, in the presence of your godly ones. As we look at the psalm, we think about how to respond and how to live in a day where evil and wickedness is running rampant. The first thing that we see is, first, number one, the reality of the wicked. As we begin reading the psalm, we're immediately confronted by the existence of the evil, the wicked. You know, God's word makes it very clear that the wicked do in fact exist. They do horrible things. Doeg was not the first. Doeg will not be the last. There will in fact be many. In fact, as many people, when they look at this psalm, they see this as a picture, an illustration of the coming Antichrist. But you see here the fact that how he is in fact so clearly described with all of the wickedness that he has here. Again, you think about what we see in verses 1 through 4. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. You know, God's word makes it very clear that the wicked exist, that as the days get closer to our Lord's return, and we don't know when that is, that they will in fact get worse and worse. And our Lord made it very clear not only the existence of the wicked and the evil, but why they are that way. You think about what we see over in John chapter 8 and in verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. They have the nature of their father. And that ought to give us an understanding. When we see these evil, wicked people, whether they are political office holders, whether they are social influencers, whether they are in academia, whether they are in the entertainment industry, we wonder, you know, what drives them and what moves them. We see their nature, and that's not denying their nature is like their father. And that's not to deny their accountability, their responsibility, but it does show where it comes from. God's word makes it very clear. The wicked, they exist, and it makes it very clear why they are that way. Well, what do we need to do to confront or resist the wicked and the evil? What is it that we need to do? What is it that we need to stand upon? Well, look with me as we move on to the second part. We see the response of the righteous. As we think about how we are to respond, we see the recourse of the righteous. That is what we're supposed to do. A, the loving kindness of God. In the midst of all this, we need to remember who our God is. Look at the latter part of verse 1 as we look at Psalm 52. The loving kindness of God endures all day long. You think about what we read in verse 8. But as for me, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. Amazing, in the midst of the problem. And remember, you know, all of this was part of Saul's effort to hunt David down and to kill him and remove him. In the midst of all that, David remembered the loving kindness of God in his heart as he faced the circumstances, but also as in looking beyond the circumstances to what God would do. You know, I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, one of my favorite books of the Bible, a prison epistle. Paul wrote it when he was in prison, not knowing what was going to happen to him, to the church at Philippi, a very impoverished church. So a man in prison writing to impoverished people, and yet the whole theme of the book was about joy. And we see the basis for that over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. You know, in the midst, even of all this, we have the loving kindness of God in our heart, in the circumstance, but even knowing, as we look beyond the circumstance, God's wonderful loving kindness will in fact work and move and bring about His good end. But we also have the righteousness of God. Look at verses 5 through 7. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at him, saying, Behold the man who will not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desire. You know, in his perfect time and in his perfect way, God will in fact deal with the wicked. He will in fact deal with those who are evil. Now again, many commentators see a foreshadowing, a picturing of the Antichrist. But even if it's not, you can certainly, you know, look to that episode that is prophesied in the book of the Revelation to know with all certainty that God will deal with all the evil and the wicked. In Revelation 19, we see him deal with the Antichrist, the false prophet. In Revelation 20, we see him deal, our Lord deal with Satan after he is released for the 1,000 years, how he's dealt with once and for all. And what a tremendous statement that is for us. If Doeg didn't get away with it, neither will the wicked of our generation. If the Antichrist doesn't get away with it, neither will the wicked of our generation. If Satan doesn't get away with it, neither will the evil and the wicked in our generation. God will in fact deal with them. But then we see the certainty of God. Look at verse 9. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. Did you see that? The future is written as if it had already happened. How? Because with God, his prophecies, his promises are so real and so certain that they can actually be written in the past tense, even though they haven't happened yet. We can rest with absolute certainty because God will in fact handle it, all of it, with his perfect righteousness. We can rest in him. Yes, these are very evil, wicked days. I'm checking the news this morning, I already saw many examples of that. Many of them are quite angry. I'm sure you have as well, whatever day it is you're watching this. We have a God that we can trust, a God upon whom we can lean. And as we think about the wicked and the evil in our generation, we need to seek Him. Well, again, as we close in prayer today, I do want us to remember those impacted by Hurricane Helene. I know just a few minutes before I looked at this, we were supposed to go on vacation the end of this week, and the town where we were going, that we've been going to for years, very, very special place for us and as a family up in North Carolina, just washed away, destroyed, not there anymore. And very, very sad, very, very tragic, especially when you think about the lives there, the homes, the people. And so, again, as we conclude, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we come to you. And, oh, Lord God, we need you. Father, again, we lift up those impacted by Hurricane Helene. Lord God, they need you in so many ways. Father, we need you as we look at our worlds just so full of evil and wickedness. Oh, Lord God, may we be mindful and always remember your loving kindness. Father, your righteousness, your certainty, oh God. And may we rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through today that you'll remember our wonderful God. Again, his loving kindness, his righteousness, and yes, his certainty. And in spite of all that we see around us, that we can, and not that we try to ignore those things, but we find our confidence in him, and I hope that you can rest securely in him.